You know, we've been having a Thanksgiving meeting, and we've been thanking the Lord for a lot of things. But you know, I want to thank the Lord tonight for not just salvation, but for the way of salvation.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Amen.
Praise your Lord Jesus.
Verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. You know, all the ways of God are marvelous.
Amen.
They really are. All the ways of God are marvelous, but the way of salvation is the most marvelous of all.
Amen.
There's nothing that man could have ever conceived that would have ever come here. The plan of salvation.
Amen.
Listen to what it says here. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, we have to be careful how we preach, lest we make the cross of Christ of none effect. Lest we give people the idea that salvation is through some cunning of our own, or through some merit of our own, or through something that men can have something to do with. It's just through the cross. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Amen.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
And you know, the world's divided in two groups. And everyone sees the cross, but we all see it differently. Those that perish look upon the cross as foolishness, as a big mistake. But we see it as the power of God.
Amen.
And then verse 19 says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise?
Amen.
Where are they? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?
Amen.
He already has. Amen. But he's going to even make it even more foolish one day. For after that, in wisdom, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
Unto the Jews, he's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, he's foolishness. But listen to what he says here. But unto them which are called.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, there's another group. Those that are called, both Jews and Greeks.
Amen.
Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now then, here he's talking about God having a plan that's wiser than the wisdom of men and stronger than all the power of men. You know, God gave the law one day, but men didn't understand the purpose of the law. And so they started out trying to keep the law. And you know what's tragic is that here we are all of these thousands of years later, and men are still foolish enough to think they can keep the law.
Yep.
You ever meet people like that?
All the time.
Yeah, we meet them all the time. Don't we? I tell you, my religion's the Ten Commandments. Oh, do I feel sorry for him?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Right. Isn't that tragic? If his hope of heaven is based on his keeping the Ten Commandments, he ain't got a ghost of a chance.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, the salvation God provided is not the Ten Commandments. It really isn't. Listen to what it says in chapter 5 of Romans. You know, I've been kind of hung up here for the last few weeks. I really have. I've known this for a long time, but somehow it's just really got a hold of me, gripped me recently, that even in our circles where we know the truth, so rarely do we ever really just thank the Lord for the method that He's provided.
Amen.
Not just that He saved us, but how He saved us.
Amen.
Listen to what He says. Start, if you will, in verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Wherefore, you listen to this verse 12. This is probably one of the most mighty verses in the entire Word of God. In one verse, He condemns the whole race. He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Amen.
Do you hear that? We make the mistake many, many times of starting out with a man that we're trying to witness to by convincing him that he's a sinner. And the way we do that is to show him that he smokes and he drinks and he reads Playboy magazine. Friend, that's not why he's lost. No, he does that because he's lost. But that's not why he's lost. We're not attacking the heart of the problem. Paul says here, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. Now, we can't argue with it up to that point, can we? We know that Adam sinned, and we know that because of his sin, death passed upon all men. But now, he goes on and says the reason that happened is that all have sinned. Now, he didn't say that all have inherited a sin nature. Now, that's true. It's true that all of us have inherited a sin nature, but that's not what he said. He said all have sinned. And since all have sinned already, that's the reason that when men are born into this world, they're born with the death sentence already upon their heads. Now, whether you like it or not tonight, and you don't have to buy everything that I say, I know that, but whether you like it tonight or not, you have to admit that sin has passed upon all men because all die.
Amen.
All die. Now, I ask you tonight to consider, honestly, in your own heart, why do babies die? Why do young people who are seemingly the cream of the crop, I'm talking about Christian young people who have given their lives to the Lord, those five missionaries in Ecuador that gave their lives for the gospel, why do things like that happen? Why death? Paul here simply says, death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Now what he does very simply is he condemns a whole race because of the sin of one man, Adam. Now when I talk about this, I know that I have the reaction among even some of God's people is, well, that's not fair. That just doesn't normally seem fair. God would condemn everybody because all Adam did. Well, you know, let me remind you that God didn't take any votes. God did what he did without asking any vote from anybody. And it pleased God to put Adam in the garden and upon him to place the fate of the whole race. And it's a fact, whether we like it or not, that what Adam did has determined the destiny of the whole race. We're all born in sin, we're all born sinners, and we're all born damned and doomed.
Amen.
Now, that seems unfair, but here's the point. That's what that says, that the wisdom of God is wiser than men. And it says the power of God is greater than the power of men. Now, what did God do? God had a purpose in allowing this thing in the garden to take place because he had a plan in mind called the plan of salvation. Let's go and read the rest of the verse. For it says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. And simply, in just plain terms, he says that sin was in the world before the law. But we know that there's no sin without law, but these all died. Well, why did they die? Because they were guilty of the sin of Adam. But listen now, he goes on. But not as the offense, also as a free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many.
Amen.
And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is a gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Oh, thank God for that much more. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, friends, brothers and sisters, tonight we ought to rejoice. Did you ever think what would have happened if God had put Adam in the garden and said, now, Adam, you can choose whatever you want to do. You can choose to obey and have life. You can eat the tree of life and live forever, or you can eat that other tree and you can die. And Adam had chosen, and then his sons would have come along and said, now, your dad did wrong, but I'm going to give you the same choice. Do what you want to do. You choose the tree of life, or you choose the tree of the knowledge of good. And on, until we finally came along and it was given to us, we can have our choice. Did you ever think? Now, God didn't do that. You know that, don't you? It says when Adam and Eve sinned, and they sinned before they had any children, they were cast out of the garden, and the way was closed for the tree of life, lest they eat of that tree and live forever. And all their children were gone outside the garden. We never had a chance. We never had a choice. God sealed off the way of the tree of life. But you know what he did do? He took the same method to redeem the race.
Amen.
What if we had allowed us to choose our way? You know what? Jesus would have had to die for every one of us individually. He would have had to come and die for every one of us individually. He didn't do that. He let Adam represent the race. And by his sin, we were all condemned. But then he said, now I'll send another man, the second Adam.
Amen.
And I'll use his righteousness to justify those that trust in him. Now, friend, listen. I don't know whether that's really got to your heart or not. But listen, the way of salvation is vitally important. We're not saved because of what we do. We're saved because of what he did.
Amen.
Do you understand that? That's the reason we can say we're saved.
Amen.
That's the reason so many people can't say that they're saved. I say, do you know where you're going to go when you die? He's silent. Who knows, you know? Well, why do they not know? Because they're trusting in what they do. Well, friend, if I trust in what I did, I'd say Ken Salve too. No, I wouldn't either. I'd say, I know where I'm going. There wouldn't be any doubt in my mind. I know where I'd be going. I can't even be faithful a whole day. Can you imagine trying to hold out for a lifetime? Listen, I'm telling you, friends, that we need to recognize that the method that God chose, the wisdom of God in allowing one man to represent the whole race, but then sending another man, saying upon him, hangs it.
Amen.
You look into him and you'll live.
Amen.
You trust him and you'll have righteousness.
Amen.
You trust him and you can have the peace of God. I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight for the method that he chose. I thank God that I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I thank God tonight I don't have to be good. I thank God tonight I don't have to be baptized or anything else.
Amen.
Boy, I bet you the thief's glad tonight too.
Amen.
You're hanging on the cross, you know. And Jesus said, man, if I could just get you to some water somewhere, I'd save you. Or if I could just get you to some water. Well, he said, today. Today you're going to be with
Jesus.
You know, the thief couldn't prove a thing in the world.
Right.
He never did get to prove a thing in the world. He just said, Lord, you just remember Jesus today. Lord, she's glad that there's a man, another man called Adam the second.
Amen.
A man who reversed, not only reversed, you know, we just need to realize it. He didn't just undo what Adam did. Boy, listen, we got a whole lot more than what Adam lost.
Amen.
Our station today is far better than Adam was there in the Garden of Eden. You think you get it good? Just wait till you get home. Boy, just wait till you get home. It's going to be a whole lot better.
Amen.
Oh, listen, I think God's in that really far as wisdom. You know, I used to be like a lot of people are right now. I used to think, well, that doesn't hardly seem right, you know. You know why? Because God's wisdom is greater than mine.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's right. God is wiser than I am. I'll thank God tonight for his wisdom.
Amen.
Something right along that. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. You know, we've been thanking the Lord for all the things that we understand this week. There's a lot of things we understand that we ought to thank the Lord for. And we understand a lot of blessings that he's given us. We can really see it. We can see both ends of it. We really understand the long and the short of it. And we can thank the Lord for that. Look what he says here, though. Jesus is speaking. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good and nice.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of things that we can thank the Lord for, even though we don't understand them, just because we know they seem good in His sight.
Amen.
You know, what God sees, they're good. I mean, we know that what He, we trust, you know, it's about like the justice, the court of justice, and the judge was up there, and this man comes up there, and they're the lawyers, and man, they're arguing back and forth, and finally it comes down to the wire, and the judge said he's guilty. And the defense lawyer, he's upset. He's mumbling and complaining. And he sees this young kid over here, and he's groaning and complaining. That was the worst miscarriage of justice, et cetera, et cetera. You know how they go on and on. And that young boy said, no, that was a fair judgment. And that lawyer says, well, what do you know? Man, I've studied law for 8 years. I've been practicing for 15 years. I've been in court all my life. He said, what do you know? He said, well, I know it wasn't a miscarriage of justice. I know that was a good judgment. And that lawyer said, well, I don't understand how you can say that. I just don't understand how you can say that. He said, I know when it's bad, you shouldn't know. He said, well, I know who the judge is. He's my father.
Amen.
And I know that he wouldn't raise a bad
judgment. Amen.
You know something? There's a lot of times I'm talking to somebody about the gospel. And they say, well, I just don't think that's fair. You know, I've gotten to the point where I don't hide anything of the gospel anymore. I mean, I come right out and tell them, I know that the natural mind will just reject it. And I tell them people are lost. Even if they never hear, they're lost. I just come right out and tell them everything that I think is involved in the gospel and let God do the rest. And they get upset and they say, this isn't fair. That's not right. This is just wrong. Everything is wrong about what you said. And it just can't be. And I talked to this one lawyer lady. Who in Guanajuato, and boy, she was just uptight about it. She just couldn't believe, you know, that I was saying all these things. And she says, well, I just don't believe, you know. You're talking about justice. And I told her, I said, well, it's real simple. I said, you know God. And once you know God, then you trust everything He does.
Amen.
But before you know Him, then you don't trust Him at all. You're real unsure. You're uncertain. She had no fear of God. But I told her, you know, God is just. And if you're unjust, and so when you get there, you're going to be afraid. She said, well, I don't see why I should be afraid that He's just. I said, you ought to be afraid because you're unjust. He said, well, yeah, I see. And anyway, it was a wasted argument, but I finally got her, so riled. She was like, well, I don't know, you know, why I should trust the Bible. I haven't read it. Well, no, I haven't read it. I said, well, then of course you don't know. I mean, you're talking, off the top of your head. You don't know anything. I've read it, and I've also thought the same way you thought. I've gone both sides, and I've made an intelligent decision. And you made a really foolish decision because you haven't even read the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, I can say, I thank you, Father.
Amen.
Not because I see the end of it. And there's a lot of times, you know, we can sometimes, you know, well, somebody has a wreck. Well, you know, I have a wreck. And I say, well, why? Why should I, why, I don't understand why God would have that wreck. I don't understand why.
We know. Amen.
I know.
Let's just assume that nobody here knows why. Let's just assume it has nothing to do with stubbornness. Let's just assume that it was a perfectly innocent wreck. Alright? And I had a wreck, and I don't understand why. And you know, maybe this wreck that I had, I can say, yeah, I know why, and I thank you, Father. But there's a lot of times you have things happen to you, you don't know why. And it's hard to say thank you because I don't know why. I don't understand. I don't see it. And you know, it's hard for me to understand why God's going to send a beggar that was born blind and he's lived all his life sitting on the side of a street begging for pennies. And he lives all his life. He can't read. He can't work. He can't ever find out the gospel. And finally, I see him and I try to talk to him and he can't understand what I'm saying. He's so old. I don't understand why God's going to send him to hell. I don't understand why. I don't understand so many things. But I know who God is.
Amen.
And you know, the more I read about the Lord, the more I understand about Him, the better I know Him, the more I believe
Amen.
He's
Amen.
You know, Jesus knew who God was. And He, right after that verse that I just read, He right after that said, no man knows the Father except the Son.
That's right.
And no man knows the Son except the Father. And no man knows the Father except the Son, and He to whom the Son will reveal Him. And He has revealed Himself to us. It's not that we understand, but we have been revealed the character of God.
Amen.
We know who God is. We know what He's like. And it don't matter if we understand any of the ins and outs or what righteousness is or what justice is. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, I know who God is.
Amen.
And I know that He's good. And I know that I love Him. And I know that what He does is right. And so I can say, I thank Thee, Father, for so it seems good in Thy sight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Psalm 100 says,
make
joyful noises
to
the Lord, all the inhabitants of the earth. Come with His presence to sing. Know ye that the Lord is good. It is that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people,
Amen. After the congregations of thanksgiving and into the good court,
amen.
Be thankful unto him, bless his name.
Amen.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And that little thing, I just had to write something about it because I just felt so blessed after so many times of hearing it all during the week.
Amen.
I just had a catchy little hymn all during work, and it just kept on going all during work, and I just Amen. Wanted to have a little horn or something just to follow that up. And it goes like this: here in the night, to count my blessings as I must, it's like to count the stars in the sky, far and close to my sight. Here in the night, the wind flows to and fro, circling a cool breeze in front of my sight. Here in the night shall a joyful noise be made, unto thee, to serve him gladness in presence of singing, which shows honor and obedience. That way it must be. For here I remember the goodness of thee. He took me out of the Egyptian creed. He sent me out of that. He sent me unto journey, providing me rich manna and water.
Amen.
He promised man, oh, what a sight it was to see.
Amen.
He gave a covenant stating, he is my Jehovah and I am his. Oh, what a stately state to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for not taking me astray, leaving me blind, cold, and lost, and afraid.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For indeed, when you were asked, you never had an excuse saying, oh, that's for the rescue mission, or I'm just too old for that. But you were always there. Your love is everlasting, or your love to me is greater than my love to you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for not ridiculing my pride. For lost those who perfectly abused me physically and spiritually, made me their slave, accused me falsely, accused me of being stupid and slow, and confused me more, and made it through physical threats. For these, my enemies, I pray even that they may be saved. Oh, thank you, Lord, for letting me cry like a little young boy who needs his mother in the thanksgiving table. For what good thanks can offer that you not already possess? Oh, thank you, Lord, for letting me cry in the thanksgiving table, for not taking me to a small nursery full of witnesses or a kitchen cell to show your wrath. For even here in the night, you are a blinding light for all men to see. The kingdom of God is coming. For even here in the night, at this campfire site, you are the good shepherd taking care of his flock. For even here in the campfire site, or even here upon the mountain, how beautiful upon the mountain among the feet of him who comes forth with good tidings of salvation and
peace.
How beautiful upon the mountain where we hear your name, Jesus, even here and now in the night.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Revelation chapter 1. John is on the Isle of Patmos. John was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He knew him physically, personally, probably as well as anybody that ever lived. And yet Jesus is glorified in John chapter 1. He comes to the Apostle John. He speaks to him. In verse 12 he says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and is dead.
Behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and death.
Amen.
The picture that John got of the Lord Jesus Christ was Jesus in His glory, Jesus in His resurrected power, Jesus in all of His might and glory as the priest king of heaven. And you know, when John saw Him, he fell at His feet as dead. He fell at His feet and he worshipped Him just like he was a dead man. And you know, John, from this time on, fears nothing else. Jesus tells him not to fear. And from here on in, through the book of Revelation, John does not fear. So he sees some terrible, horrible, astonishing things that come before his eyes. But you know, we're still in a Thanksgiving meeting, and I'm thanking the Lord for some very rich blessings. Turn over to Revelation 19. One thing I'm thanking the Lord for is what I'm going to be.
Amen.
You know, John sees many, many mighty people, and he doesn't fall down before any of them. He sees some horrible creatures, and he doesn't fall down before them. He doesn't walk afraid. He sees some majestic beings created by God, and yet he doesn't fall down before them. And yet we find over here, when he's talking about the marriage of the Lamb, and someone came to give him a message. Verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, O ye servants, ye of Spirit, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called from the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him." I fell at His feet to worship Him. This is the Apostle John. This one knows you don't worship anybody but God. This one is just as clear and as sure of that doctrine in his mind that he doesn't fall down and worship anybody but God. He's on the Isle of Patmos for his testimony before the Roman world. He won't bow before the Roman emperor. He won't kiss his ring or kiss his toe or offer incense to the Roman emperor. He's out there for his testimony of the Word of God. This one here is knew the greatest revelation that God could give. He wrote 5 books of the New Testament. Was the closest one to the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He knows. He knows doctrinally. He knows experimentally. He doesn't bow before anybody but God.
Right.
And when he sees this being and he hears his testimony, he bows before Him to worship Him. Now listen. And he said unto me, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God!
Glory to God.
For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's one of our brothers.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord
God.
He's been glorified.
But he looks so much like God, John couldn't tell the difference.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
See, I don't like the way you look now. Hang around a lot, I'm going to change.
Amen.
I don't look like Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to know I'm going to be glorified.
Amen.
And I'm going to be so glorified, I'm going to look like Jesus so much, John wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Amen.
I'm thankful, and in God's salvation, it's not just a fire insurance policy.
Amen.
It's the fires of hell.
Amen.
I want you to know, God not only saved me from the torment of the damned, but He delivered me from the power of darkness and then translated me to the kingdom of His dear Son. And
Amen.
He's going to make me like Jesus.
Amen.
This was a fellow servant.
Amen.
And he looked so much in glory like the glorified Lord Jesus. John couldn't tell the difference. And I'm going there and you're going there. And I'm praising God for
it.
I think we ought to praise God for the meetings we've had.
Amen.
I think we ought to praise Amen. God for the blessings we've had.
Amen.
I think we've been blessed. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Revelation that I had yesterday afternoon as I was reading my Bible in Matthew 26. It came out to me real funny and it was really, really serious. You know, in verse 2 of chapter 26 of Matthew, he says, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And the other night we were taught that God considers things that are not as if they were.
Amen.
Here Jesus says, "I'm crucified." He says, "The Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And then I was reading down, and so of course y'all all know, and Joe brought up there, that it doesn't matter to bring that thing over.
Amen.
The
Amen.
We all know that that Jesus was going to die on the cross. That was his whole purpose of coming. But in verse 4, it says, and consulted, this is the elders, chief priests, and the scribes, may come along and consult that they might get Jesus by subtlety. Now, I think that's so funny. It really, really is funny. Here Jesus came, his whole purpose was to go and hear the rulers and the elders and all the dignified people of the land. They decided, we've got to get rid of him. And they planned how they could do it. And that was God's whole purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And then over verse 16, says Judas. He comes along and he says, and from that time he thought opportunity should be praying. In the same way, you know, the truth is in the world and doing God's will in the long run. And then you come over in verse 47 of 26. And here in verse 47 it says that they came with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. He that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him back. They're so afraid he's going to get away from them. And of course, he had no intention of
doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Verse 53, he says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
Amen.
But how many shall the Scriptures be fulfilled? And over in verse 59, it says, now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. And then, of course, it goes on to explain that they didn't find false witnesses that accused him of anything that was really worth putting him to death for. But they knew that they couldn't get him rationally, so they had to have false witnesses. They had to fake him to come in and lie, and then they couldn't even get him to lie enough to...
Yeah,
really. And so then, Jesus had to just tell him, I'm the Son of God.
Amen.
So that they would have a destiny. And you'll find that down in verse 3. But in chapter 27, verse 5, then there comes Pilate. And he, several times, he tries to stop him. In verse 18, it says, he knew this for envy. They had delivered him. And then his wife comes in and says, don't have anything to do with him. And so he thinks, they'll ask him, and they'll let Jesus go. But the chief priests, they convinced all of the people that they should ask for Barabbas and let make Jesus be crucified. And in verse 23, the governor said, why? What evil has he done? Here again, they knew that they had no right to crucify him, but they were going to go ahead and go through with it, of course, because it was God's will.
Amen.
And then in verse 50, it says, Jesus, when he could cry again with a loud voice, yielded up to God. He gave himself for it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
In verse 62, it says, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day. And then down in verse 66 it says, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Here again, they thought they were going to get away with something. But down in chapter 28, verse 6, says, he's not here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, you need to get the pot on and start getting the fire going, because I got some beans and rice here.
Amen.
You know, it's a real blessing when I meditate on the Lord. And she was talking about Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You know, an unbeliever looks at that situation and he thinks, man, what a pathetic sight. But that man would go his whole life and waste his life preaching that religion or that doctrine that he had, and getting his few followers together and going through this life without anything, with just the clothes that he had on his back. It doesn't seem, it seemed like in the unbeliever's eyes he was a failure at everything he did.
Right.
Do you know who that guy was? That man down there who was bleeding and was being whipped and being laughed at and spit upon by people who didn't understand? That was my Lord.
Amen.
And that was my Lord God right there.
Amen.
You know, in the book of Revelation, you know who that man, that being that John fell down and worshipped in the first part of Revelation? that was glorious and had feet of brass and,
amen.
And had eyes as a flame of fire. That was my Lord.
Amen.
Both of those two men were my Lord. It's the same Lord.
Amen.
And it's a blessing to me to know that my Lord humbled himself to the death, the death of the cross, and he was translated.
Amen.
And like Brother Lindell said, we're going to be translated.
Amen.
And Linda read a verse earlier in Colossians that has blessed me for some time now, because when I went to Alaska, I first read this verse, and I was kind of a little bit depressed when I first got there. I really didn't know what to expect, what the Lord wanted me to do, or how I was to, you know, serve Him while I was there or anything. And I was just, I wasn't really relying on Him to wait and to show me. I was just kind of being guided by my own intuition, by my own understanding. But I came to the place after I read this, I said, man, that's foolish, Brian. I said, because Jesus Christ is your Lord.
Amen.
And all you got to do is follow Him. And if you
Amen.
Can't see the way, my Lord knows the way.
Amen.
In verse 15 of Colossians, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created.
Amen.
That man that died on the cross was the one who spoke all these things into existence.
That's right. Amen.
He went like this and the Milky Way just appeared.
Amen.
He just threw it out into the heavens like we would spray chicken feed down there to feed chickens with. He just all the stars in the heaven like that. And he said a word and the world was in existence.
Amen.
All he had to do was speak. He's the Lord,
Lord
of the universe.
Amen. Amen.
There's nothing in the entire universe that's not His.
Amen.
It's not created by Him, and it's not ruled by Him. He rules everything.
Amen.
He's created everything.
Amen.
He's created every one of us. He's created
Lord.
The ground that we stand on, and He's our Lord.
Amen.
He's the Lord of the universe.
Amen.
It says down there in verse 17, and He is before all things.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing that's before Jesus Christ. You know, I still remember, I think it was when you just first got here, Mike, you got up and you started speaking on the science of the Bible, how we can prove the Bible scientifically, and it was a blessing to me because I'd never really thought about it before. How it's, you know, one of the oldest books in the world said that the world hangs upon nothing, and a lot of neat little things like that. And, you know, I thought about something. He is before all things.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a lot of scientists out there in the lost world who think that they're pretty smart and think that they got everything all figured out, and Darwin thought he had everything all figured out. And when he didn't, he just rearranged it, and then he said he had it all figured out. And even though he changed his story, and he could never decide what he wanted to say, and his books contradicted, he still said he had it all figured out. And he probably thought in his own, man, I ain't got this figured out. But he said it before everybody else. And you know, nobody's got everything all figured out.
That's right.
We can't understand anything. All we can do is trust in Him because He's the Lord.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Can trust in Him as the Lord of the universe.
Amen.
And we've got peace.
Amen.
Because we don't have to sit down and try to defy and try to explain things and try to figure out how the oceans and the seas departed and figure out how all these animals came. We don't have to worry about all that because God said He created it.
Amen.
And that's a comfort to me. And it says, and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ, that man down there that suffered and died on the cross and everybody thought was just a failure and a bum and a miserable wretch. I tell you what, by Him, everything consists. Those little molecules and those little cells in those men's bodies, the spit that spit upon Jesus, He was the one who created that spit
Amen.
That they spit
Amen.
Upon. And they didn't even realize that they were so blinded that they didn't even realize that they were spitting and cursing on the very one who was holding their body together and keeping
Amen.
Their heart beating right there.
Amen.
Yeah, they thought it was them that was keeping their heart beating, and they thought it was them that was keeping themselves alive, but I tell you what, the Lord Jesus was the one that was keeping their
Amen.
Hearts beating at that very
Amen.
Moment. And He's the one that keeps our hearts beating right now.
Amen.
And we need to recognize Him as Lord God,
Amen.
The creator
Amen.
Of the universe.
Amen.
But you know something? It goes down there in verse 18, and it says, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence.
Amen.
He is the head of the body,
Amen.
Which is the church.
Amen.
You know, we can bring it down a little bit more personal, living. He's not only the Lord, the God of the, you know, sometimes that seems rather distant. It seems kind of hard for us to fathom that, well, you know, of course He's the Lord of the universe. And we can't really understand all these things, all the different planets and all these different scientific things, how our brains were created and all these really complex things, but we can bring it down a little bit more personal. You know, he's the Lord of the church.
Amen.
This body of believers right here that's gathering under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the head of us.
Amen.
And if any man comes in here and tries to teach any of you anything that the Lord Jesus Christ has not taught, then he's a liar. And you know something? He's not your Lord.
Amen.
And if any organization tries to teach us anything but what Jesus Christ taught in the Bible, they're not the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord God is the only one that we follow.
Amen.
The Lord God is the God of the church, and he's the only one that we bow ourselves to.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
The only one that we put ourselves
Amen.
Allegiance
Amen.
To. We don't put ourselves in allegiance to any kind of organization
Amen.
Except the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And when you get that straight, and when you get that straight in your life to bow before the Lord Jesus only,
Amen.
To serve him only, to do things in his name only for the church, then you've got things on the right path.
Amen.
And you're starting to get your priorities a little bit straight. Because when he's not number one priority in the church, then the church hasn't got their eyes set straight.
Amen.
And we can come together. Like I was talking to one of the guys who was visiting here the other day. His name was Ignacio. You know, he asked me, he said, well, y'all got a team? And I said, a team? He said, yeah, a soccer team for the kids. No, we don't have a soccer team for the kids. No, I mean, some maybe play soccer, but we don't have a team. Well, you have a school or anything for the kids? And you have, I mean, you know, what do you do this every Saturday? He asked me. Because we was out there playing baseball and eating and everything. And I said, no, we don't do it every Saturday. We just, we come and we gather around the Lord Jesus Christ and we study his word and we study his word and we worship around his word and we edify one another And he kind of looked a little bit depressed for a minute, you know, because that's just the way the world is, you know. Because they like a lot of the organizations in the world that call themselves Christian, they like their things, you know, their social programs and their teams and their anything that you can get in the world to build a street accord, you know, to get everybody together. And, you know, we could do that. We could build us a nice school. We could have teams and go challenge other churches and sports teams, but is that really doing a work for the Lord? Is that bowing our knees to the Lord Jesus Christ? When I was in Alaska, I had a rough time for a while there. Not, you know, I wasn't about to deny the name of the Lord or anything, but just in where are my priorities really supposed to go? I was having a battle. Well, where should I go? What should I do? Where does the Lord want me? And I was going to a Southern Baptist church up there. It was the only one in town that even preached the gospel. That's why I went there. And I thought, well, would the Lord want me in something like this? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, if I was the Lord, and I was looking down on everything that the earth was doing, and all my servants and all my redeemed sons had seen what they were doing since I had saved them, and I seen over here a bunch of lost souls that needed the gospel, and here my servants right here playing soccer with each other and doing it instead of having Sunday morning Sunday school. And I thought about that, and you know, it wasn't that extreme at that place. Not like they put their sports over their Sunday school or anything. I'm not saying that, but just the priorities. Where should our priorities be? And I think as far as the church goes, he should be the head.
Amen.
He should be the only head. It says down there in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. You know why we should recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the church? You know, we should recognize him as Lord of the universe because he created all things. We should recognize him as Lord of the church because he's redeemed us.
Amen.
And he's bought us with a price.
Amen.
And we should be so grateful day in and day out that it just makes us want to fall at his feet.
Amen.
And I'm sure, man, I can't wait until I get to fall as
Amen.
Dead. I want to see what it's like to fall as dead, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I'd like to see that. I can't wait to be able to do that. You know, we used to play games in the Army. We used to see stand straight up and see who could fall down flat. And who would be the last one to raise up their hands? And I was determined I was going to win, and I won. Man, I won. That's why my nose is so big now. Man, I hit hard. But you know something? We're going to fall at Jesus' feet one day as dead,
Amen.
And he's going to pick us up, and we're going to look like that man in chapter 19. In chapter 19, we're going to look like a god. We're going to look just like Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a difference between that man in the first chapter and that man in the 19th chapter. They both look so much alike that John couldn't tell the difference, but there was a difference.
That's right. Amen.
And the difference was that one was the Lord God.
Amen.
And the other one was his redeemed
son. Amen.
Christ so much, man, I just can't wait.
Amen.
It says down there in verse 21, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." You know something? You can bring it down right on your own lips. You know, he may be the Lord of the universe and the Creator. We can recognize him as that. We may be Lord of the church, and as the church, as a body on the whole, we should recognize Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
But in your own personal life,
amen.
Every day and every second that you're awake, you should be recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
And take everything in your life and throw it at his feet.
Amen.
You know what? People think that's, Christians think that's crazy. If you think about it, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one that's before all times, and he's going to be the one that's going to be around after everything
Amen.
Else is destroyed. Why take your own life into your own hands and save it? That's kind of stupid. We got our priorities all wrong sometimes. You know, we've got the blessing and the privilege to be able to throw everything at Jesus' feet
Amen.
And to fall at his feet as dead right now.
Amen.
Take all of our life and declare it as just dead and sacrifice it all for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know something? That's worth something.
Amen.
You know, if we do all that, then Jesus can start being glorified in the church.
Amen.
Start
Amen.
Taking away some things and start throwing some things at his feet. And you know, we might as well get in the habit of it. Because if we get any crowns in glory because of what we've done here on earth, we're going to be throwing them at his feet anyway.
Amen.
Everything that he gives us, we're just going to throw it right back and say, Jesus Christ, you're worthy.
Amen.
And you know, that's a blessing to me. Whenever I start getting my priorities wrong, whenever I start thinking that I'm a failure, whenever I start thinking of how many things I could, and I just, Satan just starts whipping me, I start to think, you know, all I have to do is say one phrase, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
It says over there in Philippians, one day every knee shall bow. Everything in heaven, everything in the earth, and everything below the earth,
Amen.
The people in hell are going to bow and say, Jesus Christ
is Lord. Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with us taking our life
Amen.
And getting down on our knees.
Amen.
And falling prostrate before God and just saying, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
You know, he's the Lord.
Amen.
He's the Lord.
Amen.
We just throw everything at his feet and say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
He's Lord of the church, and he's Lord of each and every one of you that are redeemed
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb. I want to praise the Lord and say publicly
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when Mrs. Kincaid was reading in verses of Matthew, a thought came to my mind.
You know, after the crucifixion, you know, and
it says there in verse 63 of chapter 26, it says, the guys are talking and they say, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. And then, you know, it says, did you have a watch? Go make it as sure as you can.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing that those guys remembered the words of Jesus Christ. They remembered in their mind, because he said he was going to rise again. And so what did they do? They set a watch. You know who should have set the watch?
Amen.
The disciples.
Should have been his disciples.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing that they forgot what he said? And when he comes, he raises up from the dead, and he meets them two guys on the road to Emmaus, and boy, they're sad, and they say, well, don't you know what happened? And he, as if he didn't know, you know? And he says, what? And they said, well, this is the third day. This is the one we trusted. We thought he was going to come back. And it's the third day, and he says, oh, fools of 12 hearts to believe. All this is common. And it says, he opened up the scriptures and found out unto them that they concerned himself. But they should remember that they
Amen.
Said.
Amen.
Some of the prophets. You know, it's pretty difficult to remember all that the prophets have spoken. But couldn't they just remember like Psalm 22, you know?
Amen.
How
Amen.
He won't leave us. He's not going to leave us. How'd it go?
Yeah.
Well, don't read Psalm 22. Hey,
Amen. That
holy one is he corrupt.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Hey, couldn't they just remember that? No, they didn't. They forgot it. But yet these guys who had killed it, they remember. And you know, this is the Thanksgiving time, and we remember things in the past, don't we?
While we said, boy, what a blessing it's been to be around the people of God. What a blessing it is to be part of newspaper evangelism. Amen. What a blessing it is to be a part of sending missionaries. I want to say, you know, there's more blessings
Amen.
Coming.
Amen.
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 There are things that we read tonight, Amen. Such as in Revelation about being glorified, that are coming.
Amen.
They're
Amen.
Coming. Amen. And you don't think that's going to be a blessing? Come on.
Amen.
There are going to be some people saved in this church.
Amen.
There's going to be some family
friends
that we've been praying for. There's going to be some more newspaper evangelists.
Amen.
There's
going to
be some blessings.
Amen.
I believe there'll probably be more missionaries still out of this place. There's going to be this little bitty answers to prayer. There's going to be big answers to prayer. Listen, and I'd like to just kind of say, I'm going to thank God right now for the blessings that are coming.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Then the head of the church, and, you know, Laurel to us, to Psalm 36 says, all give thanks unto the God of God, for his mercy endures forever. All give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
And then I like to follow up, 148, it's of many creation. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He commanded, and they were praised.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Had also established them forever and ever. He had made a decree which he shall not pass.
That's right.
Praise the Lord from the earth, ye judges and all things.
Hallelujah.
Fire and hail. Knowing therefore, stormy winds for filling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, sleeping things and all worlds, the kings of the earth, and all people, senses and all things of the earth. Both young men and maidens, all men and children,
Amen.
They can praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is over the earth and heaven.
Amen.
He also exalted the heart of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people here unto him, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the thought that I had, you know, that the Lord, he wasn't half God and half man, but he was whole man and whole God.
Amen.
And I was almost in my heart, and I get Laura to help me out. And in it, it says something about, I know this one who is man and yet divine.
Amen.
And that's kind of what I want to emphasize when we're singing the song.
Amen.
Yeah, if you want to mess wrong.
No, I'm okay.
He's God and yet he's man. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Nailed on the cross, and in everybody's eyes, it looked like it was all over. I mean, it looked like it was the end of the road. You know, a good man had died, and it was it, and he wasn't living. Even the disciples left him, and they deserted him as well. He was a good man, you know. And he on the cross, and they thought it was all over. But Bible says here that God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name that's above every name.
Amen.
That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. You know, that day, it looked pretty sad. It looked pretty bad. And if I'd have been there, I'd probably say the same thing. You know, Lord, thank you for what you did, but, you know, so long. But that wasn't the end.
Amen.
God exalted him.
Amen.
And it says that his given name above every name. And that day, the name Jesus, it was the lowest name on the list. You know, nobody named it Jesus that day.
Yeah.
You know, the lowest name on the list. It was a humiliating thing. You know, to be hung on the cross, calling yourself God, it looked humiliating. Everybody probably thought, that guy, he's a real, real nut, real weirdo. And so that name probably wasn't that great that day. But it says here that God has given a name above every other name.
Amen.
He exalted him above every other thing. And, we've been the last few days exalting the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We've been exalting Him with every other name.
Amen.
He's been exalted, and I'm sure we need to, we could probably go on in the rest of the next month or two and keep on exalting Him when we wouldn't be done.
Amen.
We go on.
Amen.
Because His name is above every other name.
Amen. Amen.
I thank the Lord for the meetings we've had.
Amen.
And you know, it's not pride. It's not pride in this church of pride. Mm-hmm. Of what we can do here, you know, but it's I'm proud of the Lord, and I'm proud of what He's done, and I'm proud of Him enabling us to praise Him.
Amen.
Because in many other places, you're not very free to praise Him, but here we can exalt Him, and we can spend four straight days exalting Him,
Amen.
And not feel tired about it, you know.
Amen.
Well, I mean again to praise the Lord, you know. I'm not. I don't know if you are, but I'm not tired.
Amen.
It's been real refreshing for me.
Thank
you know,
Lord Jesus.
We look forward to this. I bet the first week after we get down there, after the mission, I'm sure looking forward to the Thanksgiving reunion. You know, you're all ready to get back and get lifted up again. But it's a blessing to have something to look forward to. And I've been blessed this conference. I have to admit, the last conference, didn't lift me up very much, you know, but this conference is a really blessing.
Amen.
It's really lifting me up.
Praise the Lord.
We've been exalting His name. We've been praising Him. We may not have taught a bunch of things that we've had our head knowledge about, but we have praised His name.
Amen.
We've exalted His name. The name is above every other name. And we can keep on doing it.
Amen.
At home and in the rest of the meetings, you know, each day you have meetings, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday night, keep on praising His name. You have to wait for every November to praise Him and thank Him.
Amen.
Because His name is still the same.
Amen.
His name will never change. Still above every other name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In the front of the book.
Amen.
Number 8.
Letter A.
Letter A. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus.
We love the glorious name, the name of Jesus.
After me to get up and speak, and you know how your heart starts pounding. You know, I'm not much to speak, and then he reminded me of some verses in Exodus 4,
amen,
chapter 10, years ago when I was a priest out in Whitmer, and he gave me these verses, and it says, but I am slow, Moses was talking to the Lord, and he said, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man to mind? The dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Is not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be that with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.
Amen.
And I just pray to the Lord that his promises are sure, and he is
good
with it.
Amen.
Say too that I'm really thankful that the Lord brought us down here, that we could meet all of you, and especially the missionaries, that we could put faces to the name.
Amen.
I have to confess, I didn't want to come. But I didn't pray about it. Brent kept calling. Then I had gone out to California to see Brett, and I kept telling him, I don't want to go. And I got back home, and Dick said that he had been praying, and he knew the Lord had opened doors. And
amen.
So he said, why don't you want to go? And I couldn't come up with good enough reasons. So then I started praying. I said, well, Lord, if you really want to go, show me things when we're there. And
amen.
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 I do have a prayer request that you folks would pray for our youngest son. He's 19 and he's away from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord again.
Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
I know the Lord, I know you're supposed to pray this in.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We sure appreciate it.
Amen.
We've been exalted and lifted up beyond measure. You know, beyond words can say. I just love you all already.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that it just really, you know.
Amen.
So, because the prayer is really every one of you.
Amen.
And I've just seen so much here that I've ever seen tell you first.
Mm-hmm.
Love you all. Keep praying for us, and well, I gotta admit I don't pray enough for you folks, and so I'll pray like Paul did on every member. So,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right on the heel of that, let me say something. While we've had these great meetings and we've had these great feasts, there's been a lot of people who aren't recognized, who never say anything and who never complain, but they do a lot of work in the kitchen,
amen,
and in the nursery,
amen,
and a lot of cleaning,
amen,
up out here.
Amen.
There's 150 lazy people who sit around and get fat and eat,
amen,
and show their faces,
amen,
and their food. And a lot of people go unnoticed. And all the work that's done around here is done by volunteers, and nobody is ever assigned to do anything. So I just kind of like to offer an official thank you to a whole,
amen,
bunch of people,
amen,
who otherwise don't get thanked.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I want to just say one last thing. This is my 40th. I don't know about y'all, but you know some of the simplest things can now make the biggest impression. I saw this done one time and I've never forgotten it. that's a third verse, a third line in the first verse. I mean, sorry, the last line. It says, "For we call and we get the person of that name." Did you ever think that behind every name is somebody?
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that? Behind every name is somebody. I mean, it's not just a name. You know, names are not just names. Names stand for somebody, and behind that name. Now, in Romans 10:38, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did you ever wonder why just calling on the name of the Lord you get saved? It says here, because when you call, you get the person of that name. Now, this is just a little dramatic thing that maybe will help you remember. When you call for Jesus, something happens. Then you watch. Mike! I just called Mike, and you know what I got? I didn't just get a name, I got a person. Do you realize when you call Jesus?
Amen.
You get somebody.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't just vanity. You know, we're not just exercising our mentality. When we call on Jesus, we get a person.
Amen.
That's really true. Now, not just when you get saved.
Amen.
So many of us took that verse when we got saved. Mm-hmm. You know, that verse was written for us today.
Amen.
When we need Jesus, we can call on him. We need to get saved over and over again. Now, we're not talking about being forgiven of sin and having our names written in the book of life. We're talking about being saved from our temptations. We're talking about being saved from ourselves. But I just had to put that in rhythm. This name of Jesus is not just some name that's written down somewhere. This is a person. And when you call Jesus, you get the person behind that name.
Amen.
I like to say that. Mary coming over here, sometimes in the meetings, I tell him, "Oh, well, I don't feel like going to the meeting. Sometimes he's dead or this or that." And he tells me, "Well, I said, why don't you get up and you can."
Amen!
But I like to say that, before we came over here, I was determined I was going to come here, and no matter what the circumstances were, I was going to praise the Lord.
Amen!
And, determined to do something. You know, sometimes you get it done.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
I thank the Lord for allowing me and my wife to come down here.
Amen.
You know, this year has really been a blessing. And the Lord has given me a new love for Him. He gives me a new love for the church. He gives me a new love for these people here. And He just gives me a new love, you know.
Amen.
New feelings. I just feel great, you know.
Praise the Lord.
And, there's a scripture about the living water and the well springing up. I came down here and my pump, my pipes were turned off. But it was real old, you know. But when I got down here, it started coming up.
Amen.
And really, I'm ready to go to heaven.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Glory.
I really am, you know.
Glory
is down here right now. I just want to keep on going. I thank the Lord, and I love everybody here.
Amen.
I've had a great time.
Amen.
And I thank all of y'all, and I love all of you.
Amen.
Well, I didn't want to say that 2 years ago, when I got saved, I never knew a place to even exist with my sin. If I wouldn't have even been driving by with a shortcut here, I would have never known this thing.
Another
one came to my door. And the sign in front was the one thing that talked to me was just like, "I didn't know that woman. I wish I did, but I could pray about her."
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for the truth uncompromised. Mm-hmm. And not just the submission to learn, but I have plenty of that down the street here and down the Catholic Church. I have plenty of that up to me if it was higher than that. I had enough of that with nuns and the priests and whatever you call them. I had enough of that. I was sick and tired of that, and I wanted the truth. And I thank the Lord that this place hadn't moved yet.
Praise God.
Amen.
Uncompromised. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And that night happened to be a revival.
Amen.
Going on with Brother Dave Jones, and I got in the tail end of the whole thing.
Praise the Lord.
And I didn't even know what a revival meant, other than waking up, you know. But
you got woke up, brother.
Amen.
I just wanted to tell you all, this has really been a good meeting for me, you know, to getting out, you know, saying something. And I just want to praise the Lord, and we have a couple
of
praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The four volunteers. Let's get your hit.
Sing it out. Amen.
I wouldn't trade anything for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, you don't know how many times I've prayed. The Lord has come up.
Amen.
And, you know, I tell my Lord, I can't. You know, I try. You don't know how many times I've preached and dealt with people. I think I'm happy. You know, it's all I've got. I mean, I can't give them any more. And I said, Lord, you know, if you don't do it, I'm with my
family.
And the Lord does do it.
Amen.
He proves it when you ask it. Because you have not because you ask not. And I guess if and I come here and I wasn't hurting too much before I got here, but you know, as you get a little farther in, you know, you start hurting. You know, those broken bones start hurting. And I got to thinking, you know, how come I'm not sad? I mean, something bad happened. But I'm not unhappy. I mean, I'm happy.
Sure.
The spiritual things are so much more valuable. And I want to thank the Lord. You know what? This week I learned some things. I mean, things that really touched me. I learned that I can reckon things that aren't so.
Amen.
Because God reckons that way.
Amen.
He says, reckon yourself dead.
Amen.
So I can reckon myself dead.
Amen.
I never could understand that before, how I could say I'm dead, and I'm not dead.
Amen.
I'm alive, and I'm too alive, but I'm dead, folks. I'm dead.
Amen.
I know it. God knows it. He said it, so I'm dead.
Amen.
What a blessing.
And I realize that God is happy that some things are in my heart, even though they don't seem to be bad.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like I failed. But God says, it's well that you
are. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. I've got a lot of things in my heart, you know. And I think about that verse that says, I mean, sometimes the craziest verses are, bless you. You know, when you feel it really rotten and, you know, like you say, eating the word. Well, I ate one. I ate a verse one day because I was really feeling rotten about myself, my temper, or whatever it was. And I've got a lot of problems, but I was really feeling rotten that I couldn't win. I couldn't have victory. And I opened up the Bible and it said, flee certain things. And it said, follow after righteousness. And those two words, follow after. And I can say I'm doing that.
Amen.
I haven't attained it.
Amen.
I'm following after.
Amen.
You know, I'm following after. There's some things on my heart. And God knows they're on my heart.
Right.
Now I can look up and say, God, I haven't fulfilled all those other verses, but I fulfilled that one.
Amen.
I'm following after a lot of things.
Amen.
I'm following after a lot of things. I'm following
Amen.
After. And I can say that I am happy tonight. I'm happy that the Lord speaks sometimes.
Amen.
I'm happy that the Lord gives us His Word. I'm happy that I got to come here and be filled up.
Amen.
You know, I haven't given that much this time. And I feel like I'm always just giving. And I've been given this time.
Amen.
People have given to me. And man, they have heaped it on this
Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to the Lord through y'all that He has fed me. And
Amen.
And
Amen.
I'm not hungry anymore.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I
just
want to thank the Lord for bringing us here and for getting us this kind of really refreshing. I think sometimes that nobody comes as empty and as needy as I do when I come. But the Lord has really shown us.
Amen.
It's just been a blessing to sit and just drink it in. You feel like you needed something there.
Amen.
And I was talking to the lady this morning, and I think it's this morning, and we were talking about how if you get discouraged, you know, and you're trying to do your work, and you feel like the Lord's trying to do the work, and you feel like there's not that much result, but it seems like you have a group, and then before you know it, you're down to almost you. And then you wonder, well, Lord, what are you doing? But you know, it's just a blessing to trust the Lord and trust in the verse when He says, He that has begun His work will perform it.
Amen.
We have to depend on that.
Amen.
I believe that verse. And in Mexico and San Luis, there's a meeting right now there in our house, and I just can trust that verse. Lord, you may whittle us down to two or three, but you are working.
Amen.
You are going to perform, and you are going to finish.
Amen.
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 Pray for us as we go back. But Lord, strengthen us and give us, make us really realize and really trust in the verse, in that verse, that the Lord is going to
be. Amen.
And he's working in us. We know He's working in us, and we know He's going to continue to work.
Amen.
You know, I'd just like to thank the Lord for quite a few things. One thing, you know, the other night I was talking about the Lord's faithfulness. And, you know, some of you don't have any idea how close we came to not coming this morning. And we were a little bit low on the money. And then somehow Tony showed up and said he was going to go, and he invited us. And
his truck's pretty small for me and my family to fit with him too. So we weren't planning on going with him. But yet, you know, he said, I don't mind, it's no trouble, y'all fit. It won't bother me. Not as it bothered me, I didn't want to be just a big pain to him. And then again came the point where we were deciding, well, how long goes? And then he said, well, if you don't come, I don't have enough money to get there. So so, you know,
speak bad of
us. Well, it could speak bad on us too. Though. Not using the word shit. But, you know, it was just so good though, because, you know, we both, neither one of us really had enough money to get down here. We spent a little, well, at least me, spent a little bit on wiping and things. I don't know, maybe I should have bought. But just to see it, that the Lord provided for all of us to make it, you know, we just, I threw in some of my money and he threw in his, and we made it, you know, we had everything just as fine as could be. And I can't be more thankful.
Amen.
The Lord's really been blessing me, and you know, I've just seeing a lot of things I haven't really seen before. You know, just really been real good. He's been feeding me out of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. And he's patient.
Yet we live with Christ. Amen. And it's hard for us to realize
I'm dead. We're
just falling with sin over and over and over again. But a long time, well,
not
a long time ago, but a while back, Jesus said something
that me at a time was probably
my life. And
after 3 years,
I saw
that our heart can do it. God is greater than our heart.
Amen.
Amen. This is my word.
I didn't want to bring Brother Victor. He wanted to come. He really thought about coming, but he just couldn't. And maybe in the summer, when we have our meeting in the summertime, he and I think even maybe some of the others are thinking about trying to come.
Amen.
But Brother Victor really does appreciate the support. I'm sure that most of you are, and I don't know whether all of you are not, but the church now is helping with the Cross Lines work, and he's getting a part of that money to send down there. And he really appreciates it. And he just wanted me to be sure and tell you all that he did. And just a report on the Cross Lines work. There's been over 7,000 first-time courses sent out, and we have about 1,406 or something, I forgot the exact number, over 1,400 that have become regular. That we mean that at least sent in one course. Some of them have gone up as high as, I think, 9 or 10 courses now. And we're just really rejoicing. We're still getting in coupons from the last 2 or 3 that we put out, which has been what, you know, about 3 months ago? 4? It's been a good while.
It's been a while.
Been 3 or 4 months anyway, we're still getting coupons. Of course, not near as many as we did when they were fresh, but we're thanking the Lord for that. And then for those of you that weren't here the other day, just share this thing. It's really a cause of real rejoicing in my heart, because we're hoping that one day the work that we're starting will be taken over by the people there in Mexico. And the other morning, a man knocked on my door, and we were afraid that it might be some government official or someone from the Catholic Church, because he looked a little suspicious. And after inviting him in and talking to him a little while, we realized that he really was a believer. And we took him over and showed him how Brother Victor showed him through the work and showed him what was going on. And when we got off of it, he pulled out of his bill for 50,000 pesos and said, I want you to use this to send out more of the gospel.
Yeah, that's about $250.
That's $250. And that may not sound like an awful lot here, but down there, that's a, well, that's 50,000 pesos.
Amen.
And that's some of us here, I think, is a lot too. But we're thankful that you know, we've been praying that the Lord would take the burden off of us, really.
Not because we don't want it, but because we can do other things, you know.
Yeah.
As long as we're having to put our money in that, well, we can't do other things. And so maybe this just is the beginning of God's answer to God's prayer. So the work that we're trying to do then there will be taken over by. And there's a lot of people, maybe, that would be able if they just knew about it.
Yeah.
Maybe God will touch their hearts.
Amen. Angels unaware.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The rest of the brethren also send greetings.
Amen. Yeah, not just Victor, all of them send greetings.
Oh, yes, they're all in here.
Sure, it's not bad, isn't
it? Never knew that was bad. We've got your own tape, even. I mean. Praise the Lord. Come on. It's been a tremendous blessing for me, too.
Amen.
Just really tremendous blessing. You know, when you first get a vision of something, and you try to teach it to people who don't see your vision, it takes a long time to do something. And you know, over the years, we've been a long time putting into practice. And like we were sharing with Melda, you know, so many times we build up to about 100, and everybody would walk off for one reason or another, go back down to 50 or 25, and just... It's a continual rebuilding from ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Really is. You're going to start some work, they're going to be rebuilt from ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Because people you're going to have hope in, they're going to get mad for one reason or another. You get upset, or you get offended, or hurt, or something's going to happen, or they're going to move, and you're going to start over and over and over. But by faith, you keep on going. God will keep building. God will keep working. Mm-hmm. But you know, we had a vision of the people living out their priesthood.
Amen.
We're all priests.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not just a priest of the congregation. I am a priest, praise God. But you know, we're all priests.
Amen.
And you know, as we begin to share and feed one of the priesthood of believers, it's practice. Has been practiced.
Amen.
And you know, many times we've even tried to do this and it gets killed by one reason or another, or drugged down, or not be up to the expectations that it ought to have been, what it could have been. I thank God. 10 years down the line,
amen.
I thank God. Here's where we are.
Amen.
Raise my Ebenezer.
Praise
we've Lord. Had 4 days. Well, we've had a whole week of preaching, and prayer, and whatever. But we've had 4 days of praise.
Praise
4 days of thanksgiving.
Amen.
4 days of rejoicing. Where the people, the priesthood of God, shared the word of God, spoken for God, spoken to man, and blessed. I just thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for the missionaries we've got.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for my son, for my daughter.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for my family. I just thank the Lord for this church. I thank the Lord for Brent and Steve. I thank the Lord for all of you.
Amen.
I really do. You're a blessing to my heart. Amen. You rejoice my heart.
Amen.
You are answers to prayer.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I want to give a short testimony. Hebrews chapter 11, I believe somebody read this chapter the other day, but every time you read certain verses, they sort of stick out to you, and just this one phrase sort of stuck out to me. I just like to read from verse 11 through, say, verse 16. He said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who has promised. Therefore, strength are even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars which die in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and persuaded of them, and embraced them,